Amen. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 11. I've preached this sermon twice. Once it went really well, and once it was a dud. So we'll see how it turns out tonight. Genesis chapter number 11. Let's just have a good time around the Word of God this evening. Genesis 11 and verse number 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. We're getting close to that today, it seems like. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." Mankind is united. Mankind, all of one speech, all of one language. Mankind is unified in a common goal to get themselves to heaven without God.
Amen.
To reach from earth to heaven without the Lord's interference and without the Lord's assistance. And their desire in setting out upon this project was to make for themselves a name. Now, don't you think that's so odd? If all the people are in one place and they make for themselves a name, who's going to brag about the name of these people? There's nobody else there but them.
Sure.
But this is mankind.
Amen.
We are totally self-centered.
Yes.
I'm going to make a name for myself even if I'm the only one that knows it. I'm going to be a great person even if I'm the only one that thinks I'm a great person. I'm going to engage in this great project to build this tower, and the top of this thing is going to reach up to heaven, and we'll come back to that in just a second. Verse 4, notice, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. I've never done this as a study, but over and over again I notice in the Bible that people are worried about something that hasn't ever happened. But it's almost like they know in their heart of hearts the consequences of doing something they shouldn't do, even without an example. What would they know about being scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth? They got off the ark, they're having children, they're semi-nomadic and moving from here to here, but they don't want to get busted up and go all different directions. Why would that even be a concern? But it was. Verse 5 says, "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, wow." Probably not. People trying to get to heaven by their works. What would you have to do to impress God? Honestly, I mean, if you look at these hills and this grass flowing and that blue sky and those rivers running, and you're going to do some good deed today, and God's going to say, whoa, that's amazing. Now, I've done some stupid things. He's probably said that's amazing, but never good things. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Now watch this. And they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now, this is what God says in the Bible in Genesis 11. Some people are skeptical. Some people say we went to the moon. Some people say we didn't go to the moon. Some people say, this is fake and that's fake and this isn't real and that isn't real. And I'm just telling what God said. If some man has a crazy dream and turns it into a movie, 20 years later, they'll figure out how to do it for real. That's what the Lord said. If a man imagines something in his mind, because he's made in the image of God, and because he has these God-given gifts and abilities that apes don't have and monkeys don't have, it's not evolution. God gave us this even in our fall, we still have enough of God in us, of God's creation in us, that anything man sets out to do, he can do it. They will eventually figure out a way to kill the whole planet if they work at it hard enough. And they can cook up diseases that can send plagues all over the earth. They can shoot missiles and land them, send them right down somebody's chimney on the other side of the world. They can do all that stuff. And eventually they'll cure a disease that they're working on. Man can do that. And the Lord said, I don't want them to do that.
Amen.
I want to stop them in their tracks before this thing goes any farther.
Amen.
People think today, they think, well, the great goal is to unify everybody. They had that, and God said, that's not acceptable.
Amen.
And if we could just all work together, and God said, well, they had that, it's not acceptable.
Amen.
And if we could all just try to get to heaven, and they had that, and God said, it's not acceptable, I'm going to put a stop to it.
Yep.
Now, let me give you a little bit of speculation. When I speculate, I always give a little warning before I speculate. I'm going to give you some speculation. I don't believe that people who were intelligent enough to build an ark, intelligent enough to build cities, intelligent enough to invent music, I don't think they believed that they could stack one block upon another and get all the way to heaven. What if that tower, whose top could reach to heaven, was a launch tower? So you really believe that? No, I just said what you're supposed to think about. I don't think God said, you know, if they keep stacking bricks on top of each other, they're going to get all the way up there. But he said, they're trying to get up into heaven from that tower. I better stop it or they'll do it. Kind of interesting.
Yes.
Book of Obadiah says, I will get back to the message in a minute. Book of Obadiah, God warned, though thou set thy nest among the stars, from thence will I bring it down. And why would God say that if he didn't know men were going to try to do that? So I'm just telling you, people are always trying to go a little farther and dig a little deeper and move a little faster and see something they've never seen before. And if the Lord didn't put a check on it, there's nothing man couldn't do. But the Lord doesn't want people to live and die trying to get to heaven without God. And trying to work together in a unified effort to destroy themselves. Yeah, here it is. Obadiah 1:4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle and set thy nest among the stars. You know what they said when that thing landed in Utah or where the moon or wherever it landed? You know what they said? The eagle has landed. Out of all the things they could have called that tin can, why would they pick the one that God warned them about in Obadiah and put it in that little tiny book that even Christians don't read? And so some bird down there in NASA, listen, they got the Mercury program, that's a false god,
right.
And a Gemini program, that's a false god,
right.
And a Saturn rocket, that's a false god,
right.
And the Apollo program, that's a false god. And then somebody says, well, let's call the thing that lands among the stars, let's call that the eagle. It's like they can't get away from a King James Bible,
right.
No matter what they do.
Right.
And now they got this thing going, they got it going again, you know, because...
Yeah.
We're not far enough in debt. You're not paying enough taxes. So they get this whole space thing going again. And they named that rocket Artemis. You know what Artemis is? It's the moon goddess.
Yes,
bunch of pagans, man. This country's...
Right.
Anyway, I got to get back to the message here. You can go home. You won't remember anything I preached except he thinks they had a rocket back here in Genesis 11. I didn't say they did. I just said it's interesting. Think about it. Anyway, so verse number 7, God says, go to, let us go down there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, his name is called Babel. Some people say Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Languages began just like man began in one day.
Amen.
Nations began just like the original men and man and woman began in one day. God just all of a sudden... This group of people, that they're searching for somebody they can communicate with, and these people over here, and these people over here, and they find one another based upon a common language that they didn't know when they got up that morning, but knew by the end of that day, and they took off in all different directions. Now, there's something more God did that he doesn't spell out here. If they speak different languages, why do they have to move? why they have to relocate, because the Bible says God scattered them. He didn't just confound their language, that is, form them immediately into linguistic groups, but he pushed them in all different directions. And he did so because he didn't like the idea of them trying to make a name for themselves. He didn't like the idea of them making a unified effort to get to heaven without God, and he busted it up, and he scattered them, and so that's the story of nations and languages. All right, come to Luke chapter number 24. Luke 24, that's just a little background. Luke chapter number 24. You'll like this message tonight, because there's nothing in here getting you under conviction about anything. Just studying the Bible, having a good time. That'll keep you awake. Luke 20, 24. Jesus Christ died on the cross, been buried, risen again. He's about to ascend up into heaven. And look what he says. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins, now watch this, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. What I'm going to show you tonight from the New Testament is that God, through the gospel, has been working for 2,000 years to reverse what happened at Babel. One name for all people. One name for all nations. One way to heaven. But this time, they're not all in one place. This time, you got to go where I sent them. Amen. And you got to let them know what I have done so they can get to heaven in my name, because they can't get to heaven working in their own name.
Amen.
All right, come to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter 1, Acts is part 2 of Luke, the continuation of that narrative and that story. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Another reason I like the King James Bible, it does math like I do. Both, count them, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. See, both. All four. Witnesses where? Wherever men have been scattered.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
And while, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And you know what they said? They said, Jesus, come back. But that's not our subject for tonight. Now get this. Jesus says, when all of humanity was united and they tried to get to heaven without my help and they tried to make a name for themselves, I stopped it and scattered them and divided and scattered them. Now, watch this. And he's standing on the Mount of Olives, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. You're watching, guys? 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff.
Hey, the band's good.
Yep.
And there he goes. And you know what he said without saying it? Go tell them.
Yeah.
I can get them to heaven. They don't need a tower. They don't need a building program. They don't need unified effort. Watch. I can go from earth to heaven by my power.
Yep.
Now I'm going to give you Holy Ghost power to go tell them what can happen if they will believe on my name instead of their own name and trust me to get them there instead of trying to work to get themselves there.
Good.
That's pretty neat.
Yes, sir.
Acts chapter number 2. Look at verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. What did you read in Genesis 11? They were all with one accord in one place. How about that? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's a reversal of Babel. The God who confounded men's language so they couldn't understand one another now gives a Holy Ghost gift so men can speak to people whose language they don't understand.
Yes, sir.
What a blessing.
Yep.
And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Isn't that amazing? So in Genesis 11, one place, a name, their own, language is confounded. In Acts chapter number 2, in one place, all nations, languages are understood, but it's his name, not their name. Keep going. In verse 7, they were all amazed, marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, all parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. That's amazing. The God who wrought the miracle in Genesis chapter 11 works a miracle in Acts chapter number 2. And the one is the mirror image but reverse of the other. And look at verse number 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What got you scattered? Your name. What gets you saved? His name. His name. What got you confounded? Your name. What gets you put together? His name. What gets you scattered? Your name. What gets you unified? His name. His name. So all over the world tonight, Spring City Baptist Church, Bible Baptist in DeLand, all the churches represented here tonight, all the missionaries represented on your display board, all over the world tonight, the issue comes down to this. Your name or his name? The name of your religion or his name? The name of your God or his name? The name of your nation or his name? The name of your tribe or his name? That's what it comes down to. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All right, so come to Acts. This is really great. So all these people get saved, right? Thousands. Thousands in Acts 2 and thousands in Acts 3 and 4. And this church is growing and multiplying. Acts chapter number 8. There's one problem. There's one problem. God didn't say, preach this at Jerusalem and park. He said, preach this at Jerusalem, then go to Judea. But they're not. And go to Samaria, but they're not. And go to the innermost parts of the earth, but they're not. And so, chapter 8, verse number 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, watch what happens. Watch what happens. In Genesis 11, we got one name. And we've got one project. And we're going to get to heaven in our own name. And God comes down and says, no, we're not going to do this. And he scatters them abroad. Then in Acts 2, they get the right name. The name above every name. And they believe on that name. And they said, now look, we're unified. We're together. We're in one place. And God says, that's not what I told you to do. And he scatters them again. The first time he scattered unbelievers. The second time he scattered believers. The first time he's scattering people who are trying to stay in one place in their own name. The second time it's people trying to stay together in his name. for a church to see a good family leave and go to the mission field. It's a hard thing for a family to uproot and take their children away from their friends, and a man take his wife away from her friends and say, we're going to the ends of the earth for the gospel. But I tell you, if God's at work, he's not going to let everything settle down. He's going to do some scattering.
Right.
And he's going to send some this way and some that way and some the other way. And we get too complacent. We get too locked down. He's liable to send a Saul or some trouble or some persecution just to kind of get us moving again.
Right. Amen.
And that's what happened here. He scattered them. So what happens? In Acts chapter number 8, before this chapter's done, a man of Ethiopia, an African man, hears the word of God from Isaiah 53 and believes on the name of the Son of God and is baptized and goes on his way rejoicing. In Acts chapter number 9, an Asiatic man by the name of Saul of Tarsus meets the Lord on the road to Damascus, and Ananias comes in and clarifies things for Saul, now Paul. He gets baptized and he goes on his way rejoicing. There's the Asian man. And then in Acts chapter number 10, there's a man named Cornelius, and he's a European man. He's an Italian soldier. And Peter goes to his house and gives him the good news of the gospel, and he gets saved. And guess what happens? In Acts 8, in Acts 9, in Acts 10, Africa opens and Asia opens and Europe opens, and the gospel begins to go from nation to nation to nation to nation, and men go forth carrying out this great commission of proclaiming the name of the Lord.
Yes.
So that we can ascend into heaven, not in our righteousness, but by his power and by his might. All right, look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 2. So this is the strangest thing. Ephesians 2. In Genesis 11, everyone is in one place. That's unity. That's an understandable unity. But as this gospel goes to the end of the world, we have an even more remarkable work of God. We have everybody united without being in one place. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'll show you. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, that's your ancestors and mine, who are called uncircumcision, by that's called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. You know what he's saying? Jews and Gentiles, about all they ever had to do with each other, just calling each other names. We're better than you. No, we're better than you. No, you're worse than we are. No, you're worse than we are. That's about the extent of it. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, so different nations, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, this is a crazy thing. I mean, the Bible, you've got to take the Bible like it's written. But it's just really odd. Here's what he says. I'm over here in prison, and you're over there in Ephesus, and there's some Jews over there that you used to make fun of. You know what God's done? He's made us nigh. He has brought us nigh one to another through the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody moved. Nobody sold their house and relocated. You got a thing where in Genesis 11, they're all in one place, and that's their unity. But you got this thing in Jesus Christ where they're all over the place, but they're brought nigh one to another in Christ. Pretty remarkable. Keep reading. Verse number 14 says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, between the ordinances, for to make in himself a twain one new man. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Look. And came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's really incredible. He said, hey, you over there, Gentile, did you hear the name of the Son of God? Did you hear what he did for you? Christ died for you and was buried and rose again. Oh, yes, sir, that's great news. I believe that. Jesus saved my soul. You are saved. And then over here said, hey, man from Africa, did you hear the good news? Did you hear that Jesus Christ crucified and he bore our iniquities and carried our same sorrow and he was like a lamb to the slaughter? You believe that? Oh, I believe that's wonderful news. Okay, praise the Lord, you're saved. And then the strangest thing happens. That Gentile man over there in Europe and that African man over there and this Jew back here in Jerusalem that got saved in Acts chapter 2, somehow God puts them all together in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He don't even have to relocate them.
Amen.
It's an even greater and more supernatural work than what happened in Genesis 11 when he divided their languages and sent them all over the place. Now he's reuniting them without relocating them. That's pretty wild. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3. How does this happen? Well, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. What unites all of them?
Yes.
His name.
Amen.
Wherever they are in the earth, even the ones in heaven,
yep,
they're all united by the right name this time.
Amen.
Not their own name, but his name.
Right.
You know, can I just... I hope it hasn't gotten here yet. I hope it doesn't get here. But when it gets here, can I just say to you, the next person tells you the church is going through the tribulation, just ask them if the people that are already in heaven have to come back down here. Because
yeah.
The only way the church is going through the tribulation is for the church to...
Right. That's right.
If the whole church is going to be with the Lord, then that's what it means.
Yep.
If the church is going through tribulation, then you're going to have to get a lot of people back down here and put them back in some kind of body to go through tribulation.
Right.
And also ask people how they can't get through a 3-day power outage or going to get through 7 years of great tribulation.
Yes, sir.
A little overly optimistic, don't you think? It'd be better to say, I believe we're going to go into tribulation and die.
Bless God, right? Me and my family, we're good. We're ready. We're going to go through the great tribulation.
You're about to lose your mind over high gas prices.
Yeah.
What are you going to do when the water's blood? And the, anyway.
Right.
Anyway.
Sure.
So his name unites all the saved people, not just scattered abroad upon the face of the earth, but even those that are already in heaven are united in him. Now, chapter 4, Ephesians 4, look over here in verse number 16. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together.
Amen.
And compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now look at Babel. They're all right there together, building our name. We're the greatest. We're number one. It's hard not to be number one when it's just you. But they're number one. And then God comes and scatters them. And they started at that place and they got farther and farther and farther and farther and farther apart. And then the name of Jesus is proclaimed. And people believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people all over the world not only are placed in the body of Christ, but they get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer together. What God is doing in our lifetimes, what God is doing in this church age, is reversing what happened at Babel. But it's being done in Christ. Let me show you one more place. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. First Peter 2 and verse number 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil, all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. You get saved, you want more and more and more of the Lord. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So, men continue to have their building project. And Jesus offered to be, now what? The chief cornerstone, right? The living stone of the corner. And they said, no, we're going to build something, and we're not starting with you. You got to get out of here. We're not starting with you. Time for you to leave. We're not starting with you. We'll crucify you and put you in a borrowed tomb. That's what they said about Jesus Christ. They disallowed. They said, we will not allow this building program to continue. But we came to that living stone.
That's right.
And look at verse number 4. To whom coming is unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones. You average every stone they dug out of that quarry and stacked on that slime at Babel, every one of those stones, it was dead when they uncovered it. It was dead when they cut it. It was dead when they hauled it. It was dead when they put it in place. Because
right.
Man's name and man's efforts can't bring life out of death.
Right.
But when you came to Jesus Christ, the living chief cornerstone, as soon as you were joined to Him, He brought you to life with His life.
Amen.
That's better.
Yes.
I like that better. He says in verse number 5, built up a spiritual house. So what's God doing? He's building a house. He's building a building. He's working on a building. You've heard that old song. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted by God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Elect, precious, that's Jesus Christ. He that believeth on Him should not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe He is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. What the Lord says, you thought you were going to build my tower and there was nothing I could do to stop it? I stopped it. Now, I'm building a tower and you think you can stop it and you can't. There has been, you know this, there's been an all-out attempt by the nations of the world to exterminate or pervert or corrupt biblical Christianity for 2,000 years.
Amen.
And here we are.
Amen.
Hey world, here we are.
Amen.
We're not dead yet and we never will be.
Right.
You know what they said? We don't allow that. And God said, yeah, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
Now, when God said at Babel, I disallow this project, that was the end of it. But the world just keeps saying, we disallow this Christianity, and it just keeps rolling on.
Amen.
The gates of hell can't prevail against it.
Amen.
All right, verse 9. Now watch. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. Ye should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, when this group of people who spoke Italian, and somebody said, what's an Italian? And they said, we don't know, but we just understand each other. And so they headed off that way. And this group headed off speaking Norwegian. And this group headed off speaking Swahili. And this group headed off speaking Chinese. You say, you really believe that? Well, of course I do.
I do.
You've got nothing else to explain this.
Right.
And so there's a nation, and there's a nation, and there's a nation, and there's a nation, and there's a nation. And there's no such nation as Christian. There's no such nation as body of Christ. And yet, here's what happens. All those missionaries on those boards back there that you support in all those different countries, as soon as they lead somebody to Jesus Christ, that person is no longer an Icelandic. They're no longer Zambian. They're no longer Korean. You know what they are? They are a Christian. They are a child of God. They become a citizen of a holy nation. They become part of a great building that Jesus Christ started building 2,000 years ago. And guess what? Everybody that belongs to that nation and is part of that building reaches all the way to heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Through the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wonderful.
Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, sir.
So at Babel, God scattered them. In the early chapters of Acts, God scattered the believers. But this time, he's scattering the believers in faith to reach the unbelievers and tell them there is a name.
Amen.
There's none other name given under heaven. None of them in heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. You know where you can preach that? South Africa.
Sure.
You can preach that? North Carolina.
Sure.
You know where you can preach that? Japan. You know where you can preach that? Argentina.
Yep.
One name for all people, one way to heaven for all people, and it's not by your works and it's not your own name.
Amen.
It's the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what was done in the scattering at Babel, we are all made one in Christ Jesus and united and brought together. It's just it's an amazing, amazing thing.
Amen.
Come to Acts 17. Show you one more place tonight. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. And said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things you're too superstitious." You can preach that anywhere in the world.
Yes, sir.
"For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." They know there's a God. They pledge some measure of allegiance to that God. They just don't know who he is. That's your ancestor. "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath and all things." You know, God just said, the way to get to know me is not building something with your hands. Genesis 11. All right, so now this is worse than men's hand. All right, verse 26. "And if made of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth." So they didn't start out separately and independently. They started out all one. Everywhere you go on the face of the earth, that is human blood flowing through the veins of human beings, and they all can be traced back to a common point of origin and ancestry, and they were scattered at Babel. But here's what God said his purpose was. "And it made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and to determine the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. If happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." You know what God just said? The more men get together, the more they encourage themselves to trust themselves. The more people you pile together in one place. Come on, where's the most crime? Where you got the most people. Where's the most rebellion and ungodliness? Where you got the most people. Where's the most anti-biblical thinking? Where you got the most people. You know what God said? "I want you scattered so you can look for me." As long as you can trust each other and provide for each other and maintain each other's well-being, you're never going to look for me. But if I put you in a situation where Whatever you got leaves you saying there's got to be more to life than this. You're going to seek God.
Sure.
All right, so if the Holy Spirit says through Paul, who's left Jerusalem, Jewish headquarters where they know the law, have a lot of information about God, and goes to Athens with all these false gods and crazy stuff they're going to make movies about in America 2,000 years later, and this unknown God, and Paul says, I have come here to tell you what you've been searching for. I have come here to reveal to you the God you've been looking for. So where does that leave us? It's the missionary program of the church. It's the evangelistic program of the local church. This is a wonderful Jerusalem. It's a beautiful building, happy people, good friends, right music, right doctrine, right standards. Thank God for Jerusalem.
Amen.
But if we forget about Judea,
that's right.
He's liable to stir something up to get us going in the direction of Judea and Samaria. And if Athens is ignorant, if Athens is too superstitious, if Athens doesn't know who God is, then what they need is somebody who knows the way to heaven to come there and give them the information they don't have. So where do we live? So what is our purpose? There's people out there believe in God. They don't know who He is. There's people out there that worship something. They don't know what they worship or why they worship that way. There's people out there who go to churches every Sunday. And you tell them what their church believes. Oh, no, our church doesn't believe that. It certainly believes that. You just never cared enough about your own church to even find out what it believed. Deep down in their heart, they want to get to heaven. And whatever building blocks they're using, whatever slime and mortar they're using, they really want to get to heaven. They just need us. Go and tell them. God will not allow you to get there on your own. God will not allow you to get there by the works of your own hands. God will not allow you to get there in a group program. You and God, where you live, in the language you speak, and I'm here to tell you about the name. Amen. The name that's above every name.
Amen.
Now, and here, so I sit with that man on his front porch and I say, hello. All these great people in the Old Testament, they went to the grave, and that's the end of their story. And then here come these prophets. Here comes a Muhammad. And here comes a Buddha. And here comes a Confucius. And they go to the grave. And that's the end of their story. And then here come all these popes. And all these cult leaders. And they go to the grave. And let me take you over here. Come over here. Look in there. See that tomb? It's empty. It's been empty since 3 days after they put a crucified man in there.
Yes,
it's been empty.
Yes.
And now come over here. Let me show you something. Right here. Just out. See Jerusalem over there? Right over here. This is the launch pad.
Yeah.
And from here, he went all the way to heaven.
Amen.
They watched him go. They saw him go all the way up into heaven. Now, if you want to go to heaven, there's only one man can get you past that grave.
Yes, sir.
And into heaven.
Amen.
And we give that nation to every kindred, tribe, and tongue, every man, woman, boy, or girl, the whole world over. And those that get saved, God, that's the end of the scattering.
Yep.
And it begins one holy nation, one building, fitly framed together.
Yep.
And if you've been on mission trips, and I know many of you have from this church been on several mission trips to many different countries. Don't you think it's an amazing thing? You get off that plane and ride in that old van, and you get off that van and you walk in that church building, and you don't even understand one of their speech, and you have the same heart,
yes,
singing the same songs,
yes,
the same joy, the same love. You are closer to these people you met 2 hours ago than some of your own kinfolk.
Right. Yes. Yes, sir.
What is that? It's Babel reversed. What God did to stop man from getting to heaven in Genesis 11, he reverses in the New Testament and makes a way for man to get to heaven. But he's the builder.
Yes, sir.
And his name gets the glory.
Right.
And we're thankful for that.
Yes, sir.
We're thankful for that. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father.